Give me that again.
Proverbs 23, 17 and 18. The sacred writer says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of Jehovah all the day long. Then he ends with a promise. For surely there is an end that's wrong. The Bible isn't wrong, but the translators are. For surely there is a hereafter. The word Hebrew cannot mean an end. Yesh Yachrit is what is there? Achrit. That means an afterward. He's got this Hebrew Bible there. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. The word for expectation is tikva. That means thine hope will not perish. All right? Notice right here. The word fear of God is definitely connected with salvation, but there's the verses later on are much more powerful. But that's my text. Now let's go to the different to see how that sacred writer, the proverbist Solomon, defines the fear of Jehovah. And I take them as they appear in that book, you know, consecutively, sequentially. In Proverbs 1:7, he shows it to be, it is, the birthplace of knowledge. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. In another place, he has it in another form. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. Now, what knowledge is he talking about? Of course, it may include all other knowledge. Because remember, if the Bible is the word of God, then what God wrought is the work of God. So all knowledge will be included, but principally it's the knowledge of Him. I do not care how much knowledge we have of other things. A person is fatally ignorant if he does not have the fear of Jehovah. Because the Bible does say that knowledge will pass away. Why? That is knowledge here. Because the knowledge we're going to get up yonder will infinitely surpass what we have now. Then notice, it is also the barrier against evil. The fear of God is the barrier against evil. Now, he is speaking now to believers. All this is to believers. Sinners, unbelievers, don't have the fear of God. If they did, there wouldn't be sinners, there wouldn't be unbelievers, don't you see? So he's talking, the sacred writer is talking to us, to believers of his day, our day. The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of Jehovah is to hate evil. Some of the reasons I gave, it causes an awareness. If one fears God, he is not going to try to make a fast buck. You know what I mean? He's not going to tell a white lie. You know what white lies are. You know, and they're the blackest type. Because a white lie has some truth in it. That's what hurts. You see, we're going to abstain from things that are doubtful or uncertain. The fear of God gives us an awareness. The fear of Jehovah will keep us from gossiping. Or gossiping will keep us from the fear of Jehovah. We'll be afraid. We'll fear God to say such and such a thing. Oh, I can tell you a number of things. And then it creates an antidote. You know what an antidote is? Builds up a resistance against doing evil. The more a Christian fears Jehovah, the less he or she will be inclined to sin. Then it conditions an aversion. I read from Psalm 97:10. as to the aversion, you know what an aversion is, don't you? Sometimes we have an aversion against certain foods, against certain things. But the fear of God gives us an aversion. Another word for aversion can be a distaste, a dislike against sin. In Psalm 97:10, ye that love Jehovah hate evil. Ye that love Jehovah hate evil. And you cannot love God and enjoy evil. You cannot enjoy evil and love God. Ye that love Jehovah hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. What's, well, you don't have it right there. Yeah. That's the wicked one. Yeah, no, Psalm 97:10.
Yes.
What's the word?
Rashaim.
Rashaim, well, that's plural wicked. That's from evil people. So you have promises there. And then the fear of Jehovah constructs an antagonism against sin. You not only, it only builds up an aversion, but an antagonism against it. You are antagonized. You show yourself to be an enemy of it. And then it, well, that's it. Already confirms the affection. Note this. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning or the prime expression of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. The word is prime or head. And the knowledge of the holy ones is understanding. So you can turn to each verse as I give it to you. Then notice the fear of Jehovah is the bridge to a long life. That's what it says. The fear of Jehovah prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That's Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs 10:27. You'll find all these verses mainly in Proverbs until I come to another topic. How does it prolong life? It leads to keep the body holy. You know, a child of God recognizes that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So we intend to keep it holy. So we're not going to put into our mouths, that's one thing, we're not going to put into our mouths that is going to help destroy our body. I'm not ashamed, and I make no apologies for telling you that I am a great adversary of smoking. I don't know how you feel about it, but I do, for many reasons. I don't want to digress to tell you some of the reasons, but the chief reason is, isn't it the number one lung cancer killer? Well, what's the difference if he commits suicide in 3 seconds or if he commits suicide in 30 years? It still is murder, isn't it? I'll never forget when I ministered to our son-in-law's, that's Gracie's husband, Harold, our son-in-law's father, Nate Brickner, who died of cancer of the lungs. Towards the end, the least little touch was pain. And I used to shave him, minister to him. He'd say, Brother Glass, please be gentle, all right. These hands, be gentle. It's the only hands I have. And I'd shave him, but I'd witness to him. But praise the Lord. By the grace of God, I won the race with death. Because one day he said to me, Brother Glass, why did they name the Savior Jesus? I was talking to him in Yiddish, you know, he was a Yiddishist, could both languages. And I called the Lord by his proper name, Yeshua. I said, Nate, that's not the name he was called by. I said, the angel that gave him the news didn't speak English. English was not known in that day. And I quoted him from the Hebrew. It's a holy pun, it's a sacred pun. Play in words. Where the angel said, thou shalt call his name Yeshua, which means salvation, that's what his name was. If you were to call the Lord Jesus by his real name, and what it means, you'd call him Mr. Salvation. Or, if you want a different name, Savior. And then the verb, because he shall save, ki hu Yoshia. That's the verb. Yeshua is the noun from his sins. And as I was talking to him, of course he could talk very little because his lungs were practically nil. He said, last night I was in great pain, couldn't sleep. So I called upon the Lord Jesus to save me. When I heard that, of course, there was joy. Then he added, I called upon him in English. Is that all right? Well, this may sound funny, but when he said that, I got a knot in my throat the size of a golf ball. I couldn't breathe. My eyes just popped with tears. I wanted to praise the Lord. I couldn't. I couldn't talk. And finally, I got composure. I said, yes, Nate, you did all right. The Lord understands every language. You could have called upon him in Danish and Turkish and Greek and Russian if you wished. He knows them all. Because it is written, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.